com.
Good morning. I-295 going south just after I-95 on the north end of town, and it's before Duval Road. There's been an accident there, and the right lane is blocked. We see no problems at I-95, I-10, or Butler Boulevard this morning. Partly cloudy today and a high of 81. This evening will be partly cloudy with an overnight low of 63. And currently it is 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A Quinnipiac University poll finds Florida voters oppose allowing trained teachers and school officials to carry guns on school grounds. An ABC News reports the nationwide college scam was discovered by accident by the FBI. And Democrats oppose the new welfare reform bill by the Trump administration.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
Going to be in the mid-80s by tomorrow, huh?
Things are warming up here.
Thank goodness it's going to cool down over the weekend.
Yeah, so. The weekend, they're going to have 60s over the weekend.
So tomorrow's going to be the best day to go to the TPC because I understand it's going to get rained out probably on the week. Well, Saturday at least.
Yeah, we could get some rain. Yeah, we are expecting rain Saturday.
All right.
Yeah.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, thanks so much for tuning in. We got it, man. That Quinnipiac poll numbers, some of you are going to say it's fake news. I don't believe it is fake poll numbers when the majority of people oppose certain measures because, let's be honest, sometimes the majority of people, with all due respect, mm-hmm. may be a little uninformed. Some of you would call it uneducated.
Correct.
We're going to break the poll numbers as we continue into the radio show. All right, let's get to some of the big national news along with state and local. I'm Ed Dean, again, along with Roger Henderson. Paul Manafort is Trump's former campaign main guru at one time, was sentenced to another additional 43 months in prison. Now he gets a total of 7.5 years. The bottom line, Manafort should go to jail for what he did, but it had nothing to do with Trump and Russia collusion.
Yeah.
Just a little FYI.
Okay.
Hey, are you ready for this? You remember the college scam we've been talking about this week? It was discovered by accident, according to ABC News. The FBI totally uncovered it by accident, and that's why they decided to go after this. As reported, there may be more arrests that will take wide while the nationwide college exam. It makes you wonder, if you look at the political fodder here, Roger Henderson, who's going to capitalize on it? You'd think the left would sit back and say, because, you know, the Hollywood elite, mm-hmm. and some of these were Hollywood individuals out there, mm-hmm. are all big leftists who had the money to pay their way to get, their kids bona fide special treatment out there. Conservatives can talk about the fraud and abuse, but what did the liberals stand on? This is the reason why we need free college education. This way, parents would have to spend all the money to get their kids into an Ivy League school.
You know, what's so interesting is that, you know, this is probably just the tip of the iceberg and very, very commonplace among those who have the wherewithal in order to buy their influence. And it kind of makes them feel like, I hope they don't catch me. You'd be surprised. People are saying this could only be the tip of the iceberg.
The tip of the iceberg. Another big story that's come out, some of you, I understand many of the emails I get from listeners, Mueller, Trump, Russia, when are we going to get over it? Here's an interesting story. Newly released documents show that FBI, former FBI lawyer, the ex-lover of Peter Strzok, she says, and she said this last summer, now that the FBI, these documents have been released, that Peter Strzok wanted to impeach President Trump, have a career boost. Oh, and by the way, according to Lisa Page, who texted back and forth the insurance policy, guess what? The Department of Justice told him to relax going after Hillary Clinton.
Hmm.
Outnumbered overtime host. Roger, here we go. You ready for this? Let me play clip number three here. You guys are going to like this. This was outnumbered overtime host Harris Faulkner on this latest news story.
Newly released transcripts now reveal former FBI lawyer Lisa Page told Congress that fired FBI agent Peter Strzok went into the special counsel's investigation thinking it could end with President Trump's impeachment while potentially boosting his own career. Page also said the Department of Justice under President Obama pushed back against possible charges of gross negligence against Hillary Clinton in 2016, calling them constitutionally vague.
Let's go a little bit further with that Fox Intelligence reporter, Catherine Herridge. Again, the Obama administration advised the FBI not to pursue charges against Hillary Clinton.
During closed-door testimony last summer, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page said the Obama administration's Justice Department advised the FBI not to pursue the gross negligence statute for Hillary Clinton in the mishandling of classified information. Former U.S. Attorney and House Republican John Ratcliffe led the line of questioning about the statute. Ratcliffe, you're making it sound like it was the department that told you you're not going to charge gross negligence because we're the prosecutors. Page interrupted. That is correct. Page's testimony appears to conflict with then-FBI Director James Comey's recommendation in July 2016 against criminal charges for Clinton. The Republican-led House Oversight and Judiciary Committee investigation ended in January, with Democrats now in control. The committee's new ranking Republican made the Page transcript public. The tip-off came from a chart drawn up by federal investigators assigned to the Clinton case known as Mid-Year Exam. Fox News has confirmed that the chart listed possible federal statutes for prosecution. Next to gross negligence was a notation, quote, DOJ not willing to charge this.
DOJ not willing to charge it. So now we find out from newly released documents that have just come out by the Republicans that Lisa Page, is again the conspiracy, the cabal, however you want to look at it, a few by the FBI, that her ex-lover, Peter Strzok, who claimed he didn't do anything wrong, even though he did, that he wanted to impeach President Trump. He was going to lead it. He was one of the main agents in charge. He wanted the career boost. And by the way, the Department of Justice under President Obama told the FBI to be lax in the investigation against Hillary Clinton. But let's go back to July of 2016. Then FBI Director Jim Comey said this.
I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear.
No outside influence of any kind was there to have an influence, Roger.
I'm just waiting to hear the words, starts Friday at a theater near you. Check listings for sure.
Yeah.
You can make a movie out of this. It's ridiculous. Justice is supposed to be blind, but apparently in this particular case, it's driven by personal ambition, and it's also politically motivated.
President Trump, in his latest budget, he wants to go after welfare and welfare reform. Some say he's caused a stir of critics over welfare reform, the proposals out there, requiring to work in exchange for benefits. Now, let me read to you, and I want to play the clips here. Work would require applicants between the ages of 18 and 65 who are physically able to work a minimum of 20 hours per week or to be enrolled in a job training or community service before they can receive welfare benefits like food stamps, housing assistance, or state-run Medicaid. Fox Business host Making Money, Charles Payne, with the report.
President Trump's 2020 budget causing a big stir, especially among critics who say his plan for stricter work requirements in order to receive welfare benefits like food stamps, Medicaid, housing allowance. Well, that it's just plain cruel. You know, Nancy Pelosi saying this is a cruel, cruel approach to this. What's wrong with making people or asking people to work at least 20 hours a week?
But as a columnist for National Review, Delroy Murdoch points out, he goes, wait a second. Do we just remember no more than about 20 years ago? It was by a Democrat by the name of President William Jefferson Clinton. And remember, Democrats were all in favor of welfare reform.
Nancy Pelosi would have us believe that this is some kind of an evil, cold-hearted right-wing plot. We first heard about work requirements as part of welfare reform, which, of course, was signed by that very famous fascist president, William Jefferson Clinton. So this is something that goes back to the Clinton era. This is something the New Democrats believed in back in the 1990s. And the basic idea here is if you're going to get government assistance, it's very good to have some additional things to go with it, which is a work requirement that allows some level of dignity, allows you to get the skills, will help you to go back to work, and reduce the incentive for people just to stay home and get checks and possibly cheat the system. Part of it was under Obama, the idea was let's expand benefits. There was a huge explosion in food stamp eligibility. They raised the income threshold for that. And the whole idea was, okay, well, let's let more people stay.
You know, you remember we had fun about a week and a half ago, a couple weeks, and Roger always comes up with some fascinating ideas. You know, we played the clip about Medicaid to work. This is pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. And Roger, I got to tell you something. It was brilliant. A lot of input from listeners. Roger just wrote down the reasons why people may not be able to go get a job and in other ways that the reason why they have to stay on state-run Medicaid. But here's something interesting. In this The Trump administration says even job training.
Right.
Job training's going to school. I mean, how can you not go to school for 20 hours a week and get paid welfare benefits?
Exactly. And that, in my opinion, is probably the best part of this entire proposal, is that people who may not, you know, get doors closed in their faces when they try to apply for a job, no one's going to turn them away from being educated. The only thing I'm still a little concerned about is if you have moms with young kids, who's going to take care of their kids while they're in class or while they're volunteering or
you
while they're working?
You do have the government that can do all that.
Okay. As long as their kids are being cared
for. Work requirements for Medicaid recipients. The guidance by the administration opens the door for states to cut off benefits to those who don't have jobs, aren't in school, aren't caregivers, or who don't participate in volunteer work. Federal Medicaid officials said the work requirements would be similar to those implemented in other entitlement programs like food stamps and welfare. Medicaid covers more than 70 million people, making it the largest government health insurance program. But according to a Kaiser Family Foundation analysis, only 60% of people are working.
Again, 40% of those on state-run Medicaid who are physically able don't work, and they don't want to work. Mm. And yet again, how do you sit back and say, we're going to give you a government check and you show nothing for it out there?
All I can say is if they require education, if even if they can't find a job, we're going to have some very, very highly educated welfare recipients in this country real soon.
Some big poll numbers here in Florida we're going to talk about next. Some of you will talk about fake news and fake polls. I don't think these are fake poll numbers, and I'll explain why. But the majority of Floridians do not support arming teachers even to protect students. Where are they on the issue of immigration? Guess what? Minorities support tougher immigration reform here in Florida. A little mixture of polls. We have an article out in FloridaDaily.com on the Quinnipiac News Poll. It is quite fascinating. Offshore drilling, gun control here in Florida. We're going to get you those coming up next. And Roger, these actually the poll numbers, they're, some would say, a little bit mixed all over the map. We'll bring it to you up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Talk Radio WBOB.
Good morning. If you're on the north side, I-95 going south, and 295 actually, after 95, once you get to the Duval Road exit, there's an accident and the right lane is blocked this morning.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the biggest changes we've seen in fine jewelry over the last 25 years has been the growth of jewelry designers. At Underwoods, we're the leader, bringing to North Florida the best names in designer jewelry. In fact, we carry designer lines in a similar way to how clothing stores carry designer labels. The difference is that jewelry designers have to be a little more timeless in their presentations, because nobody wants to buy a fine piece of jewelry only to find out the next year it's gone out of style. That's why you'll find at Underwoods the best of the jewelry designer names, those that are tried and true and popular. Names like David Yerman, Roberto Coyne, John Hardy, Marco Bichigo, Jude Francis, Lagos, Ippolita, and a lot more are all available right now at Underwoods.
So if you want the best looks in designer jewelry, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Men, suffering from ED or PE, an important message from Men's Choice Medical Center.
I'm Dr. Sheikh, MD. Have pills like Viagra, Cialis, or Levitra let you down? At Men's Choice Medical Center, our custom-blended medications have guys lasting longer than ever. No pain, no surgery, and it's affordable.
Call 904-600-3133. Guaranteed results first visit, or you pay nothing. Call now, 904-600-3133.
Partly cloudy today, and we're expecting a high of 81 this evening. Partly cloudy and a low of 63. Currently, it is 63 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Opponents say a new proposal dealing with a state lottery bill that will cost millions for Florida education funding. The number of wealthy households in the U.S. has reached a new high. And newly released transcripts show that former FBI lawyer Lisa Page admits to being told to go easy on Hillary Clinton.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
Let's continue on with the news. Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson. As you know, Roger, I love polls. A lot of people like polls as well, to kind of hear what the gauge of Florida voters is. There's a new poll that we've reported on FloridaDaily.com as of today by Quinnipiac University out there. These are some mixed polls. Some of you may sit back and say, say, well, these are fake new polls or fake poll numbers. I don't believe in that. I just think that maybe some of the voters are uninformed, mm-hmm. which happens on both sides, by the way. If you don't believe me, look at some of the amendments that were passed last year among Republicans and Democrats. But the issue of offshore drilling, gun control, and school safety, let's get into it. And also, by the way, immigration. Mm-hmm. Here we go. 64% of Florida voters are against offshore drilling here in the state of Florida.
Wow.
But remember back in 2008 mm-hmm. when gasoline prices were at $4 a gallon?
Mm-hmm.
They supported it.
Yeah, of course they did. They didn't want to have to pay. I think probably what's in the back of people's mind was that huge disaster we had about, what was it, 7 years ago in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, back in 2010. Yeah.
Yeah, the Gulf Coast got hit really hard, and we don't want to see another problem like that in Florida.
Yeah, so... And by the way, the disaster was not as bad as what they predicted it
right,
to be.
Exactly.
Thank goodness. On the issue of immigration, are you ready for this? Support is 68% to 21%. No, hold on. Let me break this down. 61% of Florida voters back Governor Ron DeSantis' proposal to require local law enforcement to work with federal immigration authorities on illegal immigration.
I'm thinking, you know, why is that unreasonable? You would expect the state and the local governments to work with the federal government to enforce law.
My question is, I thought those things were already on the books.
Exactly.
But, okay. But so let's break it down. That's a good number, some would say.
Uh-huh.
Immigration support for that bill, that law enforcement requirement, because many states like New York and California, they say they're not going to work with law enforcement out there because they don't want to work with ICE. They
right.
support open borders. So here in Florida, the support, 68-21% among white voters. Let's break it down by race.
Okay.
Among black voters, 51-39% support it.
Hmm.
Among Hispanics, almost 50% of Hispanics support it as well.
That's very surprising because the conventional wisdom, at least that's what's embraced by the Democrats, is that they're being really soft on immigration because they think they're throwing a bone to the Hispanic community. Meanwhile, the ones who are here legally, they want to have the laws enforced because they follow the law.
By the way, Democrats are opposed 50-37%. Florida Democrats are opposed of requiring local law enforcement officials to work with the feds on illegal immigration. Now, voter support 57-35, a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. Undocumented immigrants are provided too much protection, 34% of the Florida voters say. 25% say that they're not provided enough protection. And 26% say that illegal aliens get the right amount of protection. Wonder what that means, kind of the word protection. Now, the big one. On gun control and school safety, many of you know this is going to be a hot topic coming up in the Florida legislature this season. Florida voters oppose 57%-40%. They oppose allowing trained teachers and, okay, did you hear me right?
Opposed.
Trained teachers, 57% oppose allowing trained teachers and school officials to carry guns on school grounds.
I wonder why that is, because trained, that takes it to an entire different level there. That means that they probably have gone through at least something similar to what the police have gone through, knowing when and when not to take their gun out unless they're uninformed and they think the training is only marksmanship.
Let's break it down by a gender. Women were the highest percentage of this. I can see this.
Yeah.
Women oppose arming teachers 63-33%. Men were divided with about 50-50 within the margin of error. 50% support it, 50% are against it. Stricter gun laws. According to those being polled in the question, they believe that stricter gun laws would do more to reduce gun violence in schools. According to 58% of the voters, 32% say armed teachers would do more to reduce gun violence. According to supporting stricter gun control, Floridians of 59-37% say yes. If more people carried guns, Florida would be less safe, according to 55% of the voters as well. So those are the numbers out there. Now, the question is, you know, we got a big ballot initiative that could be making it, could be getting signatures about whether or not that we should ban, as they call it, more of assault weapons ban here in Florida, about whether or not a long rifle, 22 rifle, 20 gauge, should be illegal to sell in the state of Florida. The question is will it get 60%? Now, those numbers show no.
They'll probably end up calling it an assault weapon when technically it probably isn't. And the people voting on it probably do not own guns themselves, so they probably don't even know the difference. And if you're not invested in it as a gun owner, very often you're probably thinking, you know, it's all bad.
So, Ed, are you saying these are real numbers? I think they're real numbers.
Oh, absolutely,
but then again, the reason why I say this is look at this. Look at some of the amendments that were passed last year. Many of you that listen to this radio show were telling us, man, these amendments shouldn't be on the ballot. And many people didn't support them. Well, guess what? The polls, I mean, a lot of people did support them. So I think that a lot of people will vote in favor of some of these measures because maybe they're just uninformed. They watch the news. Who knows?
Yeah, influenced heavily by the media. And I believe it's a strong chance, especially if these numbers hold out. And I typically believe that the polls are accurate.
Hey, how many of y'all really are watching, some would say, the circus show on the Democratic left of who's running now, a loser, Beto O'Rourke? I mean, Stacey Abrams, who lost in Georgia, is talking about running for president. Andrew Gillum, I don't know. Beto O'Rourke says he's going to run. Remember when he was being interviewed by, was it Chris Hayes from MSNBC? Hey, You see that border wall over there? We don't need to be building it. And he said, quote, O'Rourke says that the current wall now should be taken down.
You know, would you, if you could, would you take the wall down now? Here.
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think the city, you think if there's a referendum here in this city, that would pass?
I do. Here's what we know. After the Secure Fence Act, we have built 600 miles of wall and fencing on a 2,000-mile border. What that has done is not in any demonstrable way made us safer. It's cost us tens of billions of dollars to build and to maintain, and it has pushed migrants and asylum seekers and refugees to the most inhospitable, the most hostile stretches of the U.S.-Mexico border, ensuring their suffering and death more than...
Wait. So the wall has pushed people to the bad section. Well, then again, if there's a wall, most people aren't going to try to jump it in some areas, like around El Paso, because... Right. It just doesn't benefit them, so they're going to go to open border side.
Or maybe they'll just stay home instead of trying to run through the U.S. illegally. Maybe that's a possibility they may pursue.
Hey, wealthy people. I mean, you all are becoming much more wealthy under the Trump tax cut. I mean, that's what we hear out there. Are you guys ready for this number? According to Bloomberg News, the U.S. has now more millionaires than ever before. In fact, there are more millionaires than there are people in Sweden and Portugal.
Interesting. I wonder whether or not inflation, and I'm sure plays some role in it, whether or not being a millionaire doesn't mean you're as rich as you were maybe 20 years ago.
It has nothing to do with that story. There's more millionaires today.
I know. But is the value of a millionaire the same as it used
to
be?
No, probably not. But what's the point? If you're a millionaire, you got money, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there we go. So the point that the Bloomberg says, more than 10.2 million households have a net worth of $1 million to $5 million. Now, there's a thing called the ultra-high net worth households. Those assets between $5 million and $25 million increased by almost 4%. Those people have about 1.4 in this country. With those in excess of 25 million, grew about 0.6%. Guess how many people in this country reportedly have a net worth of 173,000? Well, actually, I just gave you the answer. It's 173,000 people in this country have a net worth of 25 million or more. The number of Americans in the wealthiest category has more than doubled since that of the Great Recession. But now we hear people say, well, hey, if all these people are making this amount of money, if there's that many millionaires out there, then we need to tax them in order to pay down the deficit, down the debt, and for all these other programs. But Fox Business News anchor Dagan McDowell says even if you tax the rich, you couldn't cover all the spending that you wanted.
I want to point out the great liberal lie is that the rich are somehow, the billionaires are going to pay for all these delicious programs that they're rolling out. Today it's the Green New Deal. Here's a little fact. If you confiscated every dollar of the adjusted gross income reported by the top 1% in this country every year, you're still going to be more than $1 trillion short paying for your Medicare for All plan, which, by the way, abolishes private insurance and dumps 150 million people off of the insurance they get from their employers.
Propaganda.
That's the idiocy. But you can't pay for it all. You know who pays for it? The middle class and people who are in lower income, like Europe.
When you run out of the rich.
Yeah, so there you go. So you couldn't find enough money. What is it, Roger? You might be able to run the government 1 to 2 months, maybe?
Yeah, not very much at all. But here's the deal. You know, if you have goals of becoming a millionaire one day, I think we all would like to be rich. I think it'd be wise to probably put your money in things that are safe where the government can't touch it, like the value of your home or an IRA.
The government's always going to touch it. They're always going
to
touch it.
They can't make you sell your home to pay
taxes. No. It doesn't matter. The majority of people, the government's always going to touch your money.
Okay.
It's unfortunate, but they're always going to touch your money because when you sell it or you have to write it. So it's unfortunate out there, but the government's always going to touch your money. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 222 Talk, 222-8255 Talk Radio, WBOB.
On the north side of town, I-295 South, just after 95, there's a bad accident. It's right before Duval Road, and the right lane is blocked.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-B-I-B-L-E. 877-64-BIBLE.
Single family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, aka retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. You've heard him and his team on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team on location in a city near you for the Financial Freedom Seminar. Check the schedule and claim your seats at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Partly cloudy today and no rain. Our high will be 81 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy, and we're expecting an overnight low of 63. Right now it is 63 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Coming up in a couple of moments, Democrats are heavily running on the idea, which we barely scraped. I mean, it's not a new issue, but they're bringing it back up again because remember, there's nothing new under the political sun. Reparations. Yeah, Yahoo News had a big news story on this. Wait till you hear the clips and the reasons why that the left thinks they have a plausible argument of why we need reparations. There is a gaming bill, better known as a gambling lottery bill, moving through the state legislature that would put heavy requirements, like almost like how bad gambling is. Like if you're going to get alcohol or cigarettes, it could do damage to your health. And yet, we're told that gambling would increase more money for education. Now, according to the state, some of these new restrictions on the health hazards of gambling may reduce education funding. Interesting story. We're going to have all this coming up next right here on Talk Radio, WBOB.
Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Senate is set to vote today on a bill reversing the president's emergency declaration for the southern border. A fierce late winter storm wreaking havoc across the plains, stranding motorists and canceling flights. Blizzard conditions closing parts of major highways in Colorado, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Hundreds of flights canceled at Denver International, nearly 40 grounded in Colorado Springs. President Trump says it's all about passenger safety. The FAA grounding all Boeing 737 MAX jetliners. Democrat Beto O'Rourke says he's running for president in 2020. The former Texas congressman was little known outside of his hometown of El Paso, until he challenged Republican Senator Ted Cruz last year. Wall Street Dow futures down 50 points. NASDAQ futures up a fraction. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning on the north side, I-295 going south. Just before you get to Duval Road, look out for an accident. The right lane is blocked. We're seeing a lot of backups as we look at the traffic cam there. And 295 south of Commonwealth, there is another crash there this morning. Partly cloudy today and a high of 81. This evening will be partly cloudy and an overnight low of 63. Right now it is 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. ABC News reports the nationwide college scam was discovered by accident by the FBI. Democrats oppose the new welfare reform bill by the Trump administration. And a Quinnipiac University poll finds Florida voters oppose allowing trained teachers and school officials to carry guns on school grounds.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
All right, yeah, everybody's always an English teacher. Well, then, listen, my name is Dean, not Bean, but you can call me Dean instead of Ed, all right?
Quinnipiac, no?
Okay, Quinnipiac, it doesn't matter. It's a poll number.
It's an I after the N.
Yeah, nobody cares, folks. Yeah. It's a poll number out there.
Okay.
Now, next thing, I appreciate the listeners, but, folks, judge it by the issue, not by the verbiage of how it may be announced. Beta O'Rourke. Well, Ed, you know what his real name is? I don't give a flip what his real name is. I know what his real name is, but he goes by Beta. Muhammad Ali's real name was Cassius Clay. And I like Cassius. I like that name. But I refer to him as the great one, Muhammad Ali. So, come on, folks. Really? Hey, good morning. I always enjoy everybody listening. And you can always critique me. Anyway, 222-TALK 904-222-8255. As Beto O'Rourke has now announced that he's running, again, am I going to get criticized for that? Beta David, whatever his name is. Beto O'Rourke, of course, looking now, of course, his report, he's already making the announcement to run for president. There's also the others looking to run for president. They have to break away from the rest of the other crowd, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to come up with a more liberal cause on taxation? Who's going to come up to be more open borders? Who's going to come out for a stronger impeachment? Who's going to come out for more of a bigger area of Medicaid or Medicare reform? But some have said that the big issue that they all may campaign on is reparations. Yahoo News did a big story on Democrats really to take the bull by the horns on this issue. We put together a little bit of montage. Listen to some of those on the issue of reparations, like Kamala Harris, Julian Castro out there.
If under the Constitution, we compensate people because we take their property, why wouldn't you compensate people who actually were property?
Interesting.
But anyway, Democrats like Ralph Northam say they were indentured servants.
Okay.
So anyway.
Now, you are a candidate who believes that African Americans should receive reparations for slavery, specifically $100 billion paid out in a 10-year annual installment of $10 billion. Is this symbolic, or do you think this money goes to some practical purpose?
This is not symbolic at all. I believe $100 billion okay. given to a council that would apply this money to economic projects and educational projects of renewal for that population is simply a debt to be paid. And until we pay it, we will deal with these issues.
Okay, so wait a second. Now we got different. So you know, I said they have to find an issue. Remember, who could be more liberal on a Medicare for All? Who is going to try to out left wing on the issue of taxes? Now it's no longer giving people a check. It's maybe the numbers may show, well, if we invest more billions into poor urban communities, that might be a form of reparations. Now they're trying to outdo who can do a different style of reparations.
Which really going to be sad if this actually goes through and then
it won't.
You look past 10 years from now and you still have problems, significant cultural and other issues going on in the black community.
Can you give me an example of where we've seen that before?
Well, for example, the welfare state.
The war on poverty. Here's more of the clips.
Why not support reparations?
Well, what are you? Here's Bernie. By the way, Bernie Sanders is against reparations.
He
believe
is.
It or not, man. Wow.
Reparations for slave defense.
I know, but what does that mean exactly?
Money.
Well, I think that right now our job is to address the crises facing the American people and our communities. And I think there are better ways to do that than just writing out a check.
People aren't starting out on the same base in terms of their ability to succeed. And so we have got to recognize that and give people a lift up. And there are a number of ways to do it. Part of my initiative, again, around the LIFT Act is that same point. You're lifting people up who are making less than $100,000 a year. What I want to do about rent is the same thing. What we need to do around education and understanding disparities, what we need to do around HBCUs. But we have a history of racism in America.
So you are for some type of...
Yes, I am.
That was Democrat candidate Kamala Harris. Cory Booker says what we need is have baby bonds.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Yeah. Again, where do they come up with these ideas? But the issue of reparations, Martha McCallum asked a very interesting question from the story of her TV show. She says, How are you going to pay for it, number one? And tell me, who's going to pay for it?
I mean, it's clear that these questions are going to be very central to the debate in the 2020 election. But one of the biggest questions, you know, when they're asked this question is how, right? How exactly are you going to repay the debt of slavery, and who is going to repay the debt of slavery exactly?
Columnist Mark Stein says, can we just move on?
Happens when you actually get into this sort of neo-apartheid of racial classification. And I find it particularly absurd. I mean, when Kamala Harris says people are not starting from the same point, slavery was abolished a century and a half ago. Nobody alive today has a grandparent who was a slave. And in that sense, I think you reach a point where, you know, you need to move on. I mean,
can I ask a question? How do you, because if you're going to do this, you have to find out. Go back, Ancestry.com would make a boatload of money off of this.
Uh-huh.
You'd have to go back and find out direct descendants of slavery.
Right.
For example, would Barack Obama qualify for this?
You know what? He probably would not. That's a very
correct
good point you bring up.
Correct.
Because his black ancestry is directly from Africa and not under slave history.
How about Kamala Harris?
She probably would qualify.
No, her father, I believe, is Jamaican, according to what I've heard.
Well, they were slaves in Jamaica, too.
Yeah, but you have to talk about America.
But is that America's fault?
That's right. So, Elizabeth Warren? I mean, who's next? I mean, this is an interesting question brought.
Elizabeth Warren.
Because you got Nate. I mean, you're going to have to take care of the American natives.
Yeah.
American Indians out there as well. Author, one of my favorites is Ben Shapiro. He says, first off, reparations isn't doable. And he goes, what the left is proposing is another war on poverty. He goes, can you show me the benefits? Show me the receipt of all the trillions of dollars we have spent.
The reality is that slavery reparations per se are completely unworkable. Even big advocates of it, like Ta-Nehisi Coates, have failed to come up with any actual metric for how exactly we'd go about doing that. And the war on poverty, which was launched in part to rectify a lot of the racial imbalances and evils that had been happening in the country, been manifest in America, we've spent tens of trillions of dollars in the war on poverty, and there's been no actual real receipt from that as far as the number of black people who have been raised from poverty by the war on poverty. Again, if you look, go back to the war on poverty, at that time, 20% of all black children were born into single mother families. Now it's upward of 70%. The black poverty rate is essentially the same now as it was back in 1970. That does not suggest that throwing money at the problem is a cure for whatever historic ailments have been exhibited on the black community.
Well, here's the issue with that. You know, they imposed another evil when they required as a condition of being eligible to receive basically war on poverty benefits is that the father couldn't be in the home. Had they not included that, I do not believe we'd have a welfare state anywhere near than we have right now.
Well, again, this is going to be an interesting question, but the question is who's going to out left wing each other on the issue of reparations?
Yeah.
Do you think, let's say, because those in the black community support it according to the polls, but
by what numbers?
Yahoo has a story. I'm going to pull it up.
I'd like to see that.
They say that the overwhelmingly majority.
Because hearing Kamala Harris talk about what she wants to do with the money, it's not going to go to anybody black.
No, that's what she says. So maybe she's trying to be soft on the whole issue.
It's going to go to spending.
Yeah, I'll pull up the story here. Mm-hmm. But the question is how do you figure out on how the money should be spent? Should we give everybody a check?
Yeah, I want to know how big my check's going to be. Or do you want to just spend it on, you know, building community centers in neighborhoods that I don't even visit?
So to those out there that listen to this show, and this is almost a trick question. I've heard this talked about. If you can't give reparations for those from the Civil War or afterwards, there is an era within the last 80 to 100 years, maybe a little bit longer, that possibly direct descendants from those in the black community could get some sort of redemption money-wise or whatever. What era would that be?
I'm completely...
That's
interesting. I got to think. I haven't figured that one out yet.
I'll let you know what that one is all about. Ed Dean here, along with Roger Henderson, the president... President Trump and the administration say, hey, we got welfare reform out there in the latest budget. The Democrats say that this just isn't going to work. There are too many cuts. It's greedy. Too many tax cuts going to the wealthy. Fox Business News, Charles Payne.
Well, President Trump's 2020 budget causing a big stir, especially among critics who say his plan for stricter work requirements in order to receive welfare benefits like food stamps, Medicaid, housing allowance
Well, that it's just plain cruel. You know, Nancy Pelosi saying this is a cruel, cruel approach to this. What's wrong with making people or asking people to work at least 20 hours a week?
National Review's Delroy Murdoch says, wait a second, why are they all against this? Didn't the Democrats just recently used to, like, border wall, looking out for the middle class, not trying to have unfairly trade deals out there? He says, didn't the Democrats used to support work to, welfare to work?
Nancy Pelosi would have us believe that this is some kind of an evil, cold-hearted right-wing plot. We first heard about work requirements as part of welfare reform, which, of course, was signed by that very famous fascist president, William Jefferson Clinton. So this is something that goes back to the Clinton era. This is something the New Democrats believed in back in the 1990s. And the basic idea here is if you're going to get government assistance, it's very good to have some additional things to go with it, which is a work requirement that allows some level of dignity, allows you to get the skills, will help you to go back to work, and reduce the incentive for people just to stay home and get checks. And
Now, I know you a couple weeks ago had some interesting list out there. Okay. You still abide by that list? It's still tough enough for people to go out and get a job?
I do believe if people continually have doors slammed in their faces because they don't, quote, look the part, or maybe they've got some dental issue or whatever the case may be, or maybe they have small kids that prevents them from going out and get a job, at least until their kids grow up and they get those kind of things taken care of. I like the idea that it includes education. My only concern is moms with maybe a couple of young kids who are too young to be left at home alone. What are they going to do with that? Maybe there can be an online component to education that would qualify as having met that need, provided they're actually doing the studying online.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. So there you go. So Roger's giving out some more excuses out there. The reason, by the way, underneath the president's package,
right.
If you just 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me people can't find work for 20 hours a week, community service?
Yeah.
You mean they can't go to job training for 20 hours a week?
But the system is so stacked against people in poverty. The minute they go out and work for 20 hour a week, 99% of the time, at least prior to the, and I'm throwing a number out there, if they're making too much money, that reduces their welfare benefits. So why would they want to go out and work when that extra money they bring
in. That's why
in,
you force them to do that.
They end up making less money than they would make if they were on
welfare. I agree. That's why you force them to do that.
You force them to, but if you're going to go out there and I don't know what the numbers are, but suppose you're getting maybe $1,000 every couple of weeks right now in welfare benefits.
Okay, so here's
and you go out and get a job for $500 a week, then you lose that $1,000 a week.
Okay, how many of y'all have heard, have been in a, what they call a draw system, D-R-A-W in a work, like a car sales. Like,
okay.
We give you a draw and the amount of money you make makes the draw, in other words, you have to pay that, in other words, money goes up over a certain percentage, which means it gives you have a safety net, but you make more money, so more that you get less of a draw, less of like a salary, more of the commission wise.
Right.
And so if you wanted to go down that route by saying, okay, the more money you make, you're not going to eliminate all your benefits, but you get less benefits measured down. There's nothing wrong with that.
Unfortunately, we don't have anybody smart enough in government to figure out that type of system. It's either make a little bit of money and lose everything, or stay on welfare. And as soon as they put in that kind of system, I think people would probably
show up to work every day. I think some of the states could do that.
Don't have that right now. It's like this amount, or you make this little bit of money and you're instantly disqualified. And God forbid you got a dad around helping to raise the kids.
All right. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Roger says that the system is stacked against poor people to get off of welfare. I love it, man. I like this type of stuff, man. True, welfare does keep people poor.
Exactly. It's rigged so they don't have the incentive to go out, because if they make a percentage of what they're getting on welfare,
I'm not disagreeing with
they
that.
Lose everything, because no one has the sense that you have to make it a draw type system.
Now, here's the other question. When you hear the issue of reparations, if there is an excuse for reparations over the last 100 years for those of minorities, what era would it be and why? I have the answer to that, but I want to know what you think. 222-8255. Coming up next, there's a bill here in the state of Florida that's being moved through that wants to put warning labels if you want to buy a lotto ticket. And I'm not making this up. And we're told that more lottery money is actually benefiting education, but the latest numbers from the state here in Florida say that's not happening under a new proposal. We'll talk about that coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 South, just after 95, but before Duval Road, there's an accident earlier. The right lane was blocked. We are hearing reports that may have been moved off to the emergency lane, but the backup does remain. And then 10 east of McDuff, we're seeing congestion this morning.
The Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuit may be their greatest biscuit ever, and they're on sale now for just $1.19. Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuits, now just $1.19, and served all day for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Bojangles on Beach Southside in Blanding.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Since the decline of pensions and the rise in 401k plans, saving for retirement has fallen firmly on the shoulders of the average American worker. We continue to sock away money from every paycheck, but what happens as we get closer to retirement or even retire? Another question is, how do you protect your nest egg during a bear market that will inevitably come roaring back? Now, to help answer those questions, we call on XP award-winning retirement specialist Peter LaLiberty from Liberty Advisory Group. Now, Peter, how can we protect our nest egg from a bear market?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. The simple answer is don't be in the market with some of your portfolio. That's the only way to protect against market losses, either you're in or you're not. So we always say a portion, certainly, of your portfolio should be designed to not have any market risk, to produce as much income as you possibly can in retirement, and to have at least 5 years of planned income with part of your portfolio not in the market. So how do we do that? And the answer is to have a plan, a written plan that you understand, that we have immediate, short-term, and long-term funds. So what we're offering today to the first 20 people who call in is a couple things. One is a complimentary meeting with us to try and build a plan for you. We'll also offer a retirement plan MRI. Now let's figure out what you have. The market has corrected. We don't know which way it's going to go, but we need to have a plan for that. And the last thing is we'll talk about Social Security, and I'll provide you with the 2019 Social Security cheat sheet just for coming in to see us.
What a great opportunity, Peter. Give us a call right now, 888-508-2119. You heard, Peter, the next 20 calls, 888-508-2119. Or you can simply text the word LIBERTY to 21000. That's LIBERTY to 21000.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Partly cloudy today, and we are not expecting any rain. There's a high of 81. This evening, only a 1 in 10 chance of rain. Not real likely either tonight with a low of 63. Right now, it is 63 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The number of wealthy households in the U.S. has reached a new high. New released transcripts show that former FBI lawyer Lisa Page admits to being told to go easy on Hillary Clinton. And opponents say that the new proposal dealing with the state lottery bill will cost millions for Florida education funding.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
You know, it's obvious to say that people place big bets on the game, but a record $6 billion plus, according to the American Gaming Association, Fox News headlines 24/7 reported. Jared Max on that. That's staggering. And it's illegal.
It's most of it is illegal, of the majority of that. 94.7%, I believe, will be illegal bets. Who's counting? Still illegal. Uncle Sam is not getting a clip of this. We now have 8 states with legalized sports betting. It used to be just Nevada for the gambling. And hopefully, obviously, there's so much that goes for taxes. We hope that a lot of this is going to find its way to the right places, you know. Give teachers a little bit more money or something.
First. And education, that was Fox News' Neil Cavuto talking about money that's being bet on the Super Bowl and on baseball coming up. The season's kicking around here in the next couple weeks. It's just online, you know, you got the lottery, you got gambling. But we've been told, Roger, all of this is to benefit education. Well, let's go a little bit further with this. We've got an article out in Florida Daily. There's a proposed lottery bill that the state of Florida, the office, where is this right here? This is from the office of, let me see right here. I got a clip number 5 right here. This is the Florida Office of Economic and Demographic Research. This is the state's own data numbers because we're told that we need to expand lotto in the state of Florida. We're told we need to expand gambling in the state of Florida. We're told that we should look on online sports gambling because it will benefit education, but there's just one problem. The same proponents that don't have a problem of expanding gambling, they also say, coming along with that, we want to put warning labels. Now, follow with this story here. House Bill 629, which is being proposed by Florida State Representative Will Robinson, who sits on the Gaming Control Subcommittee, would prohibit the use, here we go now, would prohibit the use of personal electronic devices to play, store, redeem, sell, or purchase lottery tickets or games. In other words, it's kind of like getting a ticket from StubHub.
Okay.
You can't resell it. They don't want it because you can make more money.
All right.
For example, the Rolling Stones, I don't go to concerts. I could care less. I just don't want to spend the money. They're coming in next month. I know people that are spending $300-$400 to go there. So there have been laws that they've talked about that if you want to buy that ticket, and knowing that you could get $600-$700 off of that,
right?
Ticketmaster, they don't support that.
Right.
So what this bill would say...
Scalping is what it's
called. That's right. So they say that they would prohibit the use of personal electric devices to play. In other words, you can't play any type of gambling on your phone whatsoever. Hmm. Or you would you can't purchase lottery tickets or maybe scalp them and sell them to other people, like a black market.
I had no idea that was going on with lottery tickets. I thought people had to go to a convenience store and buy them there. So people are buying lottery tickets now and then reselling them online?
A lot of things are happening. But this is where the story gets a little bit more interesting. Involved in this bill, what they want to do, that if we expand the area of the Florida lottery, because remember, the Florida lottery is supposed to go back to money and for education. That is what it was supported. The same gambling industry wants to put on the lotto areas, the advertisements in stores today. Here it is on lottery tickets, advertisements, and promotions of games. Quote, warning, playing a lottery game constitutes gambling and may lead to addiction and or compulsive behavior, and that the chances of winning a big prize are very low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so should there be a warning label on people that want to play lottery?
I don't see a problem with it.
Okay, but now this is where the story gets more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that if you promote more lottery, mm-hmm. you promote more gambling, more money would come into education. Then the question is, well, if you want to do that, why would you want to put a warning label on the lottery system where people may sit back and go, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be playing this. Hence, there's less money going into education. Let me rephrase it this way.
Right.
We're told that we need to tax cigarettes and alcohol. More money will go into the system to pay for roads, bridges, whatever,
healthcare.
Public health.
Right.
But then again, if you, they're also saying that we want to put taxes to maybe send out a message that maybe smoking isn't that good. So people sit back and go with a cigarette. I mean, it was higher than President Obama, the Republicans mm-hmm. supported back in 2009, that the tax on cigarettes was too high. Maybe I'll stop smoking. Well, then there's less revenue coming into the state then.
Exactly.
So that's what the opponents say, that they do not support putting warning labels on lottery tickets or advertising it, that it may be bad for your financial situation. 222-TALK, 222-8255. My question to you, do you believe that we should be putting warning labels on people that want to go gamble at the Best Bet, that people that want to do online gambling, if you want to buy a lottery ticket here in the state of Florida, according to a bill being proposed, it would require warning labels that say playing lottery game may lead to addiction and or compulsive behavior. Roger doesn't have a problem, but do we not already know that?
You know what? Maybe people need to be reminded. You know, my suspicion is, you know, we've got a government in conflict with itself, having a moral conflict. But my suspicion is you've got some people in the legislature who probably are all for, you know, expanding gambling and the lottery and the casinos. But then you have some who may be a minority. They don't have enough votes to shut it down completely, but they can at least get this out there to maybe warn people not to do it. And that's possibly what's going on
there. What next should we be warning or not warning people about? Put on a seatbelt? Hey, by the way, if you put on a seatbelt, it may save your life. Then again, it may not.
Hmm.
I mean, where do we draw the line here? And according to the state's own numbers, if they try to do that, the education could lose probably about $62 million. So the question is, if you want to promote something, then promote it. But then again, let's put a hazard thing on there so we can at least tell maybe constituents that we were looking out for them. So my question to you, 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is like the big debate. Do we need to be forcing McDonald's or Chick-fil-A to put on their menu how many calories an item is and all the bad things and sugary items that may be in there? Or do we leave it to the local business to do that? Do we need to be reminding parents by eating fat food is a good chance of having high blood pressure, diabetes, and heart disease? Do we need to have the government come in? Does the government need to come in on a proposed lottery bill here in Florida that says if you want to play lotto, that it could have a major impact on your financial status, mm-hmm. and it may be hazardous, and it may lead to addiction and compulsive behavior out there? Rogers is not a bad thing, but you don't have a problem they wanted to do that.
I don't. You know, one of the things I like to do sometimes with my family is go to the theme parks. They've got signs up saying, you know what, if you, you know, are, you know, have health issues or pregnant or whatever the case may be, getting on this roller coaster may not be a good idea, but they you didn't see that sign until you bought your ticket and entered the park.
Yeah, but most people know today, do we need to warn mothers that smoking's bad for you if you're pregnant?
I think it's a good idea.
Wait, they don't know?
They may not.
And, really? And who is not smart enough to know that these days?
It doesn't hurt to remind them, even if they do know.
So what did you remind them as a PSA? So we should be put on every label, you know, smoking's bad for you. And I mean, where do we draw the line here?
I don't buy cigarettes, but I think there are warning labels.
Okay,
on cigarettes
here's the question. If the companies want to do it, should they be mandated to do it? That's the question.
On cigarettes, yeah.
On cigarettes, should mothers, when it comes to like rides at Disney, should Disney be mandated to tell people, you know, going through a high ride may cause epilepsy?
You know what? I don't know. They probably aren't doing that because they're mandated to by the government.
Yeah, they do it because they don't want any losses.
But maybe their insurance company says put this on there.
222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
I-295 South after Commonwealth. Look out for a wreck there this morning. No big backup yet we're seeing on traffic cams. And if you are at I-10 East, you'll start to slow down at McDuff this morning. The Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuit may be their greatest biscuit ever, and they're on sale now for just $1.19. Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuits, now just $1.19, and served all day for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Bojangles on Beach Southside in Blanding.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow. For the longest time, I've wanted to come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. But up until now, I haven't been able to find anything that held up to my high standards. I've finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. My new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB to get 30% off plus free shipping.
Partly cloudy today, a high of 81. This evening will be partly cloudy with a low of 63. Right now it is 63 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
We're going to get to some of your emails here in a couple of moments. Don't forget the radio app, download, listen to it on your smartphones. It's a free app. Just go to wbob.com. More coming up next at the 7 a.m. hour. This is Talk Radio WBOB.